It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Squawk Talk. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. I am your host, Kate Skirmerhorn. Joining me in the studio today is Vanessa Germain from Cottage Care and Kathy Morrow from Room Reflections. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to start off the show today with Vanessa Germain from Cottage Care. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thanks so much.
Vanessa, why don't you start us off telling us a little bit about what is Cottage Care, maybe a little bit about what you do there.
Okay, sure. Cottage Care is a house cleaning company. We do also do offices if anyone needs that done. We have been around since the late 80s. This office, we are located in Sewanee currently. We were opened in Lawrenceville in 2007. We just recently made the move to Sewanee, and we would love to clean your home if you need us to.
And so you do residential home cleaning. Do you also do any kind of commercial cleaning as well, or is it mostly just residential?
It's mostly residential. Like I said, we can do, you know, offices from time to time. We're not necessarily set up to do like a construction clean, mm-hmm. anything like that.
Sure, but light office cleaning as
yes.
well. Yes. All right, so if somebody is thinking, well, I'm at the point where either I don't want to clean my house anymore, or it's just gotten too overwhelming. What kind of things should they be looking for in a house cleaner to decide, is this the right person or company for me?
Well, we like to, we don't send out a team of three or four. Some companies, you know, send a team of three or four. And if that's what you want, if you want them to get in and out quickly, Cottage Care may not be the mm-hmm. company for you. But it's nice to have Cottage Care because we like to send maybe one person to your home, maybe two, depending on the size, depending on your likes. And we want to, be almost like a personal housekeeper, but without those hassles. We kind of squash all those things. We do the background checks. We pay the taxes for you. And that's that way you don't have to worry about all of those things. You don't have to worry about, you know, little things if something's broken or something's stolen. So that's the nice thing about having a company instead of an individual.
Mm-hmm. And so if somebody was hiring you, they would have the same person coming out every week. And so they kind of start building that relationship with that person. It wouldn't be somebody different every week. They're not hiring a company, but they're starting to build a relationship within that company. Is that correct?
That's true. We like to have two different people in your home at separate times, trained in your home, so that, you know, if somebody's sick, you don't have to get a totally new right. person if you don't want. And some people don't care whether they have the same person mm-hmm. all the time or not. But if you are one of those people that likes to have someone who's like a personal housekeeper, mm-hmm. Then we can certainly do that for you.
What type of things do you clean and or maybe don't clean within a home?
Sure. We do it what we call a general cleaning, which is going to be we scour and sanitize your bathrooms, your kitchens. We cobweb, we dust, we vacuum your bedrooms. We'll make your bed. We clean living rooms, dining rooms. You know, we can clean your basement. We can mop your floors. A couple of things that we do not do your dishes. And we don't clean windows.
Okay. And so if somebody were, what are some things, if they're interviewing for a housekeeper, what kind of things should they be asking those housekeepers that in terms of what their qualifications are, what kind of people they hire, et cetera? What would be good questions that somebody should be asking you to interview?
You mean when they interview?
Like if they're coming, say, I want to learn more about Cottage Care, I'm thinking about a housekeeper, what kind of questions would be good questions that would separate you from other companies out there?
Okay, sure. If you, let me think about that for a yeah. second. I've never been asked that question before. We definitely want to get someone in your home that you're going to trust. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want someone of a certain age or something like that, we have a lot of cleaners that are young. We have a lot mm-hmm. of cleaners that are not as young. You know, but all of them do a fabulous job, but it just depends on really what you want. We train everyone in the same way so that everyone cleans the same. Mm-hmm. So really with Cottage Care, you're going to get the same clean no matter who comes to your home.
Okay. So good train, you know, what kind of training do you provide? And are your folks are they licensed? They're bonded, insured?
Insured, bonded, yes, licensed. You know, we do the background check. So you can certainly trust anyone that we send to your home to do a good job, and you don't have to worry about any of your possessions.
Very good. We're listening to Vanessa Germain from Cottage Care. Vanessa, tell us a little bit about, is there find a lot of people that feel like they have to clean their house before the house cleaner comes. And why is that? And what can people, why do people feel like they need to do that?
I'm not sure why people do feel the need, but a lot of people do that. And, you know, we do appreciate if you pick up your dirty clothes, you know, and we don't really want to clean up any dog or cat excrement. So that always helps. I'm not really sure why people do that, but we do appreciate it. It's always nice to just come in and clean as opposed to, you know, being a maid. We don't consider ourselves your maid. We consider ourselves professional house cleaners. Mm-hmm. So, you know, picking up before we come is fabulous. You don't have to.
But the toys and the laundry and such would be a very helpful thing.
Right.
So let me ask you, this is kind of maybe a strange question to ask you, but when somebody comes in their house and they say, it smells clean, tell us a little bit about why. What gives them people that, it's like that new car smell in the house?
Well, we actually do not use any products that leave a smell, and that is because some people are allergic to certain scents, and some people just don't like different scents. You know, somebody wants a pine smell. If they use Pine Sol, somebody doesn't want that. Somebody wants it to smell like powder. And all of our supplies are green and non-toxic products, so none of them actually leave a scent. If you wanted us to leave a scent in your home, let me know and we'll see what we can do. But we try to leave it clean and a little bit of evidence that we've been there to clean your home. But other than that, we don't like to leave a trail of scent.
So if you're smelling something, you haven't been there.
Right.
We leave it odor free. That's kind of that's the clean smell.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about your service area and how far out in Atlanta you go. Obviously, you're probably not going down to Macon or Valdosta or somewhere, but
that's true.
Talk to us about where you service in Atlanta.
Okay, sure. We do practically Gwinnett County. Some of the cities that we definitely service are Alpharetta, Norcross, Snellville, Grayson, Lilburn, Lawrenceville, Duluth, Sewanee, Buford, Sugar Hill, Decula, Cumming, Flowery Branch is somewhere that we just added as well. And if you didn't hear your city on that, you know, just give us a call and we would be glad to see if we can come out there.
Certainly. So let me ask you this. Do you just take clients that maybe have to come in every week, or do you take that person that's, my mother-in-law's coming to town and I need help?
We take anybody that wants their home cleaned. You can be an occasional customer if you want it done once a year. You know, we also have several customers that are monthly. We have every other week. We also have weekly. It's totally up to you. We don't have any contracts. We're not going to charge you any fees if you have to cancel because you forgot to call and say you're on vacation. You know, we are very flexible like that. And certainly if your mother-in-law is coming, please give us a call.
Nothing cleans a house like an older female relative
That's
coming
right.
to visit. So if somebody, maybe somebody just needs help with certain areas of their house, can you do that? Or does it need to be the whole house clean? Maybe they just want somebody to come in and do the bathrooms or the kitchen. Do you customize your cleaning for what they need?
We certainly do. We can even alternate plans. You know, I have some customers that have one plan. They get the whole house done every time. I have some that have six different plans. Mm-hmm. You know, if they just want their bathrooms and their kitchens done, great. We'll come and do that. If they want, you know, the main level cleaned this week and then the upper level cleaned in 2 weeks, we can do that. It's all totally up to you. Everything is customized.
Okay. Vanessa, tell us a little bit about what you enjoy about your job, what you do there at Cottage Care.
You know what's great about Cottage Care? I actually used to clean for the company, and that in itself is great exercise. But with the management, you get to meet all kinds of people. You get to see all kinds of fabulous things. People are wonderful decorators. People have, you know, things in their home that you would never think of. I just love getting to meet those people and see, you know, those different ideas that they have, because it's not things that you would always think about. Mm-hmm. It's nice to interact with the different kinds of customers.
Very good. And how did you get involved with Cottage Care?
I was actually in Denver, Colorado in school, and the managers can be very flexible with the schedules. So the job that I was working when I began school was not flexible. So I got a job with Cottage Care cleaning, and it worked out perfectly. I cleaned for them for about a year and a half, and then moved back east and was approached about a management position.
Very good. Well, we're listening again to Vanessa Germain from Cottage Care. Vanessa, tell us, when somebody's coming into the home, do you bring all the cleaning supplies or do you use the supplies from the homeowner?
We do actually bring everything that we need. We utilize two different kinds of vacuums to get all of your carpets and hardwood floors clean, things like that. We have green non-toxic products. We bring everything absolutely that we need. If there's something that you prefer that we use, you know, let's talk about it. Certainly not going to tell you no and to go somewhere else. We want want to clean your home. But if you don't want to worry about the hassle, we'll bring it all, we'll use it, and we will take it with us.
Okay. But if you had someone who was maybe very, very allergy sensitive and said, I only want this product, and they said, but you can, but they supplied it for you, you'd be more than willing to work with them on those kinds of things as well.
Certainly, yes. We can be very flexible. We don't want to endanger anyone.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about, Vanessa, what separates cottage care from other house cleaners or that single person in the minivan that's just doing it on the side?
Sure. Well, for one, we like to come in. We like to take our time and do a quality job. We are not trying to just rush in, kind of give it a once-over and rush out. We want to deep clean everything. We want to make sure everything is done well. Also, we with a service as opposed to an individual, you know, just a person, we're going to pay all those taxes, the Social Security taxes, the employer taxes. We're going to be the boss. You don't have to, if you feel bad, if you end up with a relationship with a one person and they get sick or, you know, they need to go back to their home city and take care of their mom, you're not going to feel bad with cottage care because there's always going to be someone there to replace them. You don't have to build that personal relationship. You don't have to reprimand them for something they did wrong. You call me, the manager. Mm-hmm. I discuss it with them, and then we fix it or we have someone else come in and fix it.
Certainly. And certainly you've got the benefit of the liability. Something happens, a single person would have no liability.
Certainly. Certainly, yes. You know, God forbid if anything ever got broken, mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't have to worry about it. We would take care of it. Any injuries, you know, that's not on you. If the person went into your home and fell from somewhere and got hurt, you know, if it was just
accidents
an individual,
yeah.
That's right. Sometimes it happens. We don't ever want anybody to get hurt, but if that were to happen, if it were an individual, they're going to call you. They're going to talk to you. Of course, we are going to take care of our employees. That has nothing to do with you. You know, it's not your fault that they fell.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how does cottage care give back? I hear a little bit about that you like have a giving back attitude in the company. Tell us about that.
Yes, we do. While we do donate to local charities, one of the things that we are most proud of is our Cottage Care Widows and Orphans Relief Fund. That is actually in Rwanda, Africa, and it provides housing, food, clothing, education, and health care to needy children and widows in Rwanda. The owner and CEO team actually go down there every couple of years. They like to see, you know, what they're building, how they're helping. And also on our website, www.cottagecare.com, you can purchase jewelry that is actually made by the Rwandans, and all of the proceeds go back to help them develop their villages.
Very good. Very good. Again, you've been listening to Vanessa Germain from Cottage Care. Vanessa, tell us a little bit if they've listened to somebody out there is listening to what you've said. And they said, I'd like to learn a little bit more information. How do I call them to get some books and service and see if maybe you haven't mentioned my specific city, but I'd like to learn more about it. How would they go about doing that?
Sure. If you're just looking for pricing and some more information, you can call us at 770-963-7160. We'll tell you all about exactly what we do when we clean. You know, they'll give you some prices and then they'll book it if you want to book it, and they'll say no, you know, you can wait and think about it if you want to.
Sure.
You can also check us out on our website at www.cottagecare.com.
Very good. Thank you, Vanessa from Cottage Care, for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
Our next guest on the Squawk Talk is Kathy Morrow from Room Reflections. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Why don't you start us off telling us a little bit about Room Reflections? And you have a very long name, which I'm going to just shorten to Room Reflections, but you give us the full long name and then tell us all about that.
The full long name is Room Reflections Interior Redesign and Home Staging. The way we got the name of the business is I wanted to create a decorating business that truly reflected the people that live in the house. Most people are afraid that if you invite a decorator in to work with you, that you might have a beautiful room when you're done, but that it will be very generic and just pretty and not reflect you. And I believe that the home that you live in, homes are our biggest investments for most of us, and you should come home and it should make you happy. So I felt that your room, your house should fit the way you live your life. So if you want the living room to be a music room, then that's what it should be and not a living room or an office. And it should also reflect your personal style. So part of my favorite thing to do as a decorator is to come in and get the opportunity to get to know you and find those things that you've got hidden away that are really you and help you put them out in your home so that when people come in, they get to learn more about you.
Excellent. And so when people come into the home, they think, I'm home, and they just get that more relaxed sense, and it's not just somewhere that they're just propping their feet up every night. You help them feel like it's their home.
Yes, something that, again, is comfortable for them in the way they want to live, whether they're someone who likes to sit in a corner with a comfortable chair and read a book, or someone that's busy playing video games on the TV or cooking in the kitchen. Each person has something different that's their hobby and what they like to do and the things that make them happy. And we spend so much time in our houses, and often we don't think about that, right, about making it work truly just for us.
Right. And so talk to us a little bit about on that decorating end of things. When you first meet with somebody and they're like, well, I don't know, how do you help draw out some of those things? Because most people, I don't think, say, well, I want it decorated and I want it this and this and this, because if they could do that, they probably could do it themselves. So how do you what's the process you use to help kind of draw some of that out of people?
That's true. Well, you ask a lot of questions before you even get there to learn. Usually they can identify what's frustrating for them or what's not working. So whether it's something that is functional in the sense of my children's toys are all over the floor and I need some help corralling them, or we've lived in this home for 20 years and now our kids have gone off to school and we need to update things. So you start with that, and you start also by seeing what they do actually have when you get to their house. And then you ask them a lot of questions about it. And the kinds of things that you're asking is, how do they want the rooms to feel? Because that's almost as important as how they want them. It's not how you want them to look. And that's where people get confused with decorators. They think that it's about making it pretty. Mm-hmm. And really what it's about is first making it functional for you for what you want to do, and then learning the colors that you like, or by showing pictures. Often I also often send people to House or Pinterest, house.com, because there are lots and lots of rooms there. If you're thinking of doing your living room, they can start looking at pictures and learning what they like and they don't like when they would never have thought about it before. Mm-hmm. So that helps them a lot. And then we can talk together. And even if they don't know what it is in the room that they like, I can draw them out with questions. Is it the colors? Mm-hmm. Is it the style of the furniture? So things like that. So you ask a lot of questions.
Because right. I think a lot of people, they may look at a picture and they go, oh, I like that or I don't like that. But again, like you said, they may not be able to readily identify, pinpoint. Some people can, but I think maybe there's a lot of people that struggle with
they
that.
Can't.
Yeah.
Most people can't. And that's, as you said, that's why they hire me. But if I'm looking, I'll start to see within those three or four pictures, either I'll see a common color, or it might be a common style of decorating. If they like, you might see a lot of Indian prints if they like that, or if they're soft blues and greens, you might notice that they like a more coastal look or more casual, or whether it's formal or casual. So you're starting to get that idea so you can get to know them. Mm-hmm. But that's really the most fun part for me, is the getting to know them, because everybody, as Vanessa said a minute ago, is so different and what they're looking for.
Now, have you ever found yourself to kind of feel like a mediator between husband and wife, and one has one opinion and one has a very different opinion, and how do you merge the two?
Yes, and I find when the husbands want to be involved that they usually have a stronger say in the process and in what ultimately gets picked. They either leave it totally to their wives, and really as long as you don't put pink in their study, they're happy, or they really like being involved in the design process and asking the questions and understanding whether or not it's going to be functional. And if I do get two people that are on different sides, we try and find the common things or incorporate a little bit of what each person wants, almost as if you would if you were negotiating a contract with somebody, where each side needs to give a little. So if a husband wants a comfortable chair in the corner to read with a nice lamp, we make sure he's got that. And then if the wife wants a separate sitting area, or she needs room for the kids to play, we try and incorporate that into the room as well. You try and give each person a little bit of what they want.
Okay, right. We're listening to Kathy Morrow from Room Reflections. Kathy, have you ever run into a situation where the wife wants to get rid of something and the husband just won't let it go? Say like that big comfy chair in the room and the husband says, no, that's my recliner. That's my leather sofa from college. You can't get rid of that.
Yes, that does occasionally happen. I hate to admit it, but most of the time those comfy chairs get relegated to a different room that is not – well, it depends. You know, if you're down in the basement already in a more relaxed part and you've got your big old comfy chair, then it can fit, and sometimes we can reupholster it. Mm-hmm. If you're upstairs or in a more public place where you're entertaining, then...
Which is why the wife wants it gone.
Right. But no, but you know something, if you go to either Lazy Boy, or there are a lot of stores right now that carry really good-looking, comfortable chairs. Mm-hmm. So it means that the poor husband gets to come on a shopping expedition with me once I've identified some things he might like, and he has to do the sit test.
Oh, there you go.
The sit test is key for sofas and chairs because they're too huge of an investment. You always should be sitting on something before you buy it. Do not ever buy a sofa sight unseen from the web. or not sight unseen, but without testing it.
Well, I agree with that, because something could look really, really fantastic, and then you sit on it and you're like, oh, it doesn't really support my back, or
right.
or I don't like
exactly.
the cushions, and you don't know that just from looking at a picture. It may look beautiful, but just because it fits in the space doesn't mean it's the right place.
That's absolutely correct.
So, again, we're listening to Kathy Morrow from Room Reflections. Kathy, another area of your business is staging, real estate staging for homes.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that area of business.
That is a growing area of business here in Atlanta. It started out in California when there were so many homes for sale out there, and agents and decorators noticed, surprisingly, that the house that looked nicer and was more well-maintained and renovated sold more quickly and for a better price than the house that was just sitting. And it developed into a business where now it is a rather large industry of people like myself, and I am a member of the Real Estate Staging Association. I am a RESA, which is called RESA, RESA Pro. What we do is we help people get the houses ready to sell, and that involves three areas. One of them is first identifying what needs to be repaired or replaced. The second area is then what existing things in the house need to be updated. And then the third thing is the decorating, or really undecorating, so that you're taking the house from being personal, as we just discussed, to being something that the particular target market, say if it's young families, you want the home to be decorated in a way that a young family could see how to live in it. So there would be the comfortable chair and maybe some bin somewhere with toys and things that they could walk through and easily say, oh, this is where little Johnny and Jane would play. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I can see them from the kitchen when I'm cooking. So it's very much a psychological tool, as well as it's a marketing tool as opposed to just decorating.
Sure. Well, and obviously people would understand the things that need to be replaced and things that need to be repaired. Those are obvious. How do you help people from undecorating their house? Do you ever find that people have a really struggle with taking their possessions out of their house when they're trying to sell it?
It is often the hardest thing for people, particularly if that is the home where you've raised your kids, and you know, everywhere you look, you see something that reminds you of your family. And the thing is, it's explaining to them, because the thing is, you don't want to remind the potential buyer of your family, because you don't want them thinking about your family. You want them thinking about their own family in the space. And the more personal things that are there, the more difficult it is for the buyer to see themselves in the space. So that's why a lot of the artwork that you have would be taken out, and why we ask you, or particularly if you've got war memorials or anything that is very, very unique, because while that's wonderful for living and it's what makes you, your buyer will get focused on that, and they won't notice the fabulous architecture or the great view or how big the room is, because all of a sudden they've gotten focused on that one little thing that you still have up on the wall. So that's why we ask them to remove them.
And do you find that people often that are needing staging is just because they simply have too much stuff, and it's not necessarily that they maybe understand they need to take the picture down, but they don't understand why they have to take the three dressers out of the room?
Yes. And most people do have too much stuff, particularly if they've lived in a place for any period of time. Again, you want the rooms to feel big and spacious. You want the buyers who are coming in to think that all of their stuff is going to fit in there. And you also, people will have dressers that are right by the door. And so if you've got a real estate agent and a couple and their kids, and they're all standing in the doorway looking, it feels crowded because the dresser's right by the door, even though the room itself is actually spacious. So often what stagers do is we rearrange the furniture so that the rooms will feel more spacious or also will be set up in a way that they're drawing your eye to the architectural features like a fireplace or a view so that you can we make sure that you notice the cool things that property has to offer.
We're listening again to Kathy Mara from Room Reflections. Kathy, tell me a little bit. I hear from a lot of real estate agents that it's a seller's market out there and houses are selling and going under contract very quick. How does that affect somebody who still needs to deal with the staging aspect of things? Are you seeing that as a change in your business that maybe you're working more with buyers than you are with sellers?
You don't work with buyers for staging mm-hmm. because they're the ones they're looking
doing
at
it.
The house. So it's the seller who is hiring your services to make their property desirable to the mm-hmm. buyer. We do keep the buyer in mind, though. That's the main thing. I'm usually part of an agent's team.
Okay.
They don't necessarily hire me, but they bring me in when they have a house that they feel that, particularly sometimes if they don't want to be the bad guy mm-hmm. and say, Mary, you really, really need to take that down. I'm bringing Kathy in because she's going to tell you everything and you're going to walk through the house together and identify every single thing from how to empty out your cupboards, which, by the way, should always be no more than 2/3 full.
Wow.
Even if you have tons of food, you want them to think that no matter what, there's enough room for all their stuff. But I'm the one who comes in as the bad guy and explains that you just really need to do this because people only know what they see.
And do you find that sellers sometimes need help? Well, I use all this stuff or I need all this stuff. Do you have any way to help them kind of get through to either you're not really using that, it's just kind of cluttering up your house, or to help them stage it somewhere where it is still useful?
Oftentimes we can't stage it where it's still useful. If it's something that they really need, like even your medications should not be mm-hmm. easily accessible. In particular, you don't know who's going through that house.
Sure.
You don't want some kid to grab them. You don't want, you just don't know because you don't want to be liable for any of that and you need your things. But yes, what you explain to them is that it's just like going on a job interview where you're in your best clothes. You don't walk around or sit in your house in the same suit that you might wear on a job interview. This is your house. This is your largest investment is your property. And you want to get the biggest bang for your buck that you can. And so temporarily, just like when you go on that interview and you might be uncomfortable in your suit and tie, you're going to look comfortable and do what you need to do. It's the same thing to sell your house. For a short period of time, you might not be as comfortable in your chair watching TV because I've rearranged the furnishings. As you would be if I were designing it for you to live there. And it's kind of, you just have to accept it and live with it in order to get the house sold. And most people, once you go through and you've talked to them, they will accept it
mm-hmm.
because they understand why you're doing it.
Sure. From my conversations I have with property managers, one of the greatest difficulties they have is getting people to transition from it's my home to it's a business. And it's the same type of thing when they're just selling the house. Now it becomes an asset they're trying to sell, and it needs to separate from not being their home.
Right. It is not your home anymore. It is a property. It is exactly the largest thing you own. And if you're going to sell it, you want to make sure that you do everything that you can to maximize the profit that you can make so that you can go find another home.
Very good. Again, we're listening to Kathy Mara from Room Reflections. Kathy, the last area of your business, as I understand, is about color consulting. Tell us a little bit about what you do in that aspect for people.
Color consulting actually is part of decorating and part of staging, and I use it all the time. It is there is nothing that can as quickly make a difference in a room as a fresh coat of paint. Whether it's on a piece of furniture, which is very popular right now, or on the walls. And most people walk into the paint store and they stand there and they look at all the chips, and it's an overwhelming, terrifying
big wall of color
process. The main thing that you try to ask people and what you want to find out is not necessarily, they think they want to know how the room should look, but color is all about feeling, and different colors evoke different feelings. And so really the first thing we ask is, how do you want to feel when you're in that room?
Okay. And so, Kathy, you walk into somebody's home and they have painted their rooms bright red because they love red and they're trying to sell their home. How do you tell them that we really probably don't need this room to be red because it's distracting, or how do you help somebody get through that to say, we need to completely change the color of this room, and you pick that color, I know, because you love that color, but it's not where it needs to be. How do you help people through that process?
Well, again, when you talk to them about getting their house ready to sell, from the very beginning when you step through the door, it's always that it is no longer about you. It is about the buyer. And that red is a very strong color, and it evokes strong emotions. Most people like it, but it's positive or negative. And also, you want to have colors on the wall. It doesn't necessarily need to be beige. It can be kind of khaki like we have here in the studio. But you want colors that anybody who's coming in could imagine their own furnishings in there. And so if they've got a color that doesn't work with red, they're going to say, it's amazing. It's just a coat of paint, and it's not that expensive. But people will say, I can't buy that house. It has a red living room. And you think, well, gee, don't you know paint's not that expensive? And even a painter, if you hire one, is still not that costly. But people, most of the time, people can't see beyond what's there. And that's the thing that you need to explain to the homeowner.
Kathy, you do a lot of different things. Obviously, we've talked about a lot of different things. Tell us, what is it that you really love about what you do? What's your favorite?
My favorite thing about what I do is getting to know my clients who are all so different. It's not much different than any other kind of sales. Even though I'm not selling, I'm actually designing something that will make them comfortable and happy. But you need to get to know them in order to do that. And it usually, my initial consultations are always 2 hours, because the first hour, they're just trying to figure out if they trust me.
Right.
And after that first hour, usually they'll go to the closet, open the door, and pull out a piece of artwork or some other treasure from a trip. And they'll say, well, would it be okay? Do you think we could put this in the room? And that's what I want. I want them to be comfortable enough, because usually those things are what make them. And then you can use that as a springboard and have it be somewhere in the room. And that's my favorite thing, is coming up with something that is unique to them and still trending and exactly what they want.
The creativity aspect of things.
And making it personal.
Yeah. So do you have a service area within Atlanta that you cover, or do you pretty much will go where the call is made?
I have traveled as far as Tucker, but from East Cobb. But my main service area is West Cobb, East Cobb, Woodstock, Roswell, a little bit down in Sandy Springs and Virginia Highlands, but mainly in the Roswell, East Cobb area.
Okay. Very good. And so you work, obviously, with a lot of realtors and other folks. Are there other business professionals that you like to connect with in terms of being able to refer business for you?
Yes. It's everything from cleaning services, because with staging, when you're telling people they need to get their homes ready to sell, they often need, at the very least, a deep cleaning, or they need a painter. I have several granite resources and contractors in different areas, because that's all of those home care professionals help me look better, and my clients oftentimes don't have someone that does those things when they're getting ready to sell. So, yes, B2B is very important to me in the home care industry, carpet cleaners.
Yep. Obviously, probably a lot of the same over there with Vanessa. Same type of thing. Anyway, Kathy, I appreciate you being on the show today and learning a little bit more. So, if somebody's listening to you and they say, you know what, we're thinking about selling the house, or maybe they're a realtor and they have not worked with a professional stager before, how can they go about finding a little bit more information about you?
They can go to my website, which is www.roomreflections.com. They can also, if they want to learn about staging and find stagers, they can, and I'm listed there as well, go to www.realestatestagingassociation.com, which is what I'm a member of. It's a national organization, and it gives you a lot of information of why you should stage, the benefits of it, and how to go about finding a good stager.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you again to our guests for being on the show, Kathy Morrow from Room Reflections and Vanessa Germain from Cottage Care. I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.